today. Madam Clerk, could you please read item number one?
From the Employee Benefits Work Group requesting authorization to amend sections 201.24 sub 4.1 of the Milwaukee County Code of General Ordinances as it pertains to the Rule of 75 for non-represented employees. This item was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit, the Committee on Personnel, and the Pension Board. The Committee on Finance and Audit voted to approve this item by a vote of 6-0.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Joining us this morning, Corporation Counsel and our actuary. Gentlemen, if you'd introduce yourselves for those in attendance and listening.
Sure. Thank you, Chairman and Supervisors. Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel.
Larry Langer, Buck Consultants, the actuary.
Good morning, gentlemen. If you'll please summarize and make your analysis available, I appreciate that time.
Mr. Chairman, what you have before you is a proposal that follows similar but smaller proposals that have been done adopted by the County Board previously. You'll recall historically a year and a half or so ago the County Board adopted an ordinance amendment that would prevent deputy sheriffs upon promotion into non-represented ranks from gaining pension benefits because of that promotion, because of the change to non-represented status. One of those was for some of those individuals the possibility of gaining the Rule of 75. Likewise, earlier this year, you adopted an ordinance amendment for correction officers who might be promoted to newly created correction officer lieutenant positions. So I think there were 18 positions created. And you adopted an ordinance amendment to prevent them from possibly gaining the Rule of 75 by becoming non-represented through that promotion. This ordinance amendment does the same thing, only on a much bigger scale. The reason for this, as we've explained before, is that there's a difference in eligibility for the Rule of 75 depending on which union you're in and, or your non-represented status. Mm-hmm. And the biggest numbers are related to AFSCME, and so that's one the example I use, but it also falls in the Nurses Union, it falls in TEAMCO, and some of the other unions as well. AFSCME members, in order to be eligible to retire under the Rule of 75, if they retire as AFSCME members, they have to have been hired before January 1st, 1994. On the other hand, with non-represented employees who retire as non-represented employees, they have to be hired prior to January 1st, 2006. So you have the possibility, which has occurred on a limited basis in the past, where individuals get promoted, they transfer, they change positions at the county through the normal process, mm-hmm. and they go from an AFSCME position. They were hired after 1994, but before 2006, and they go from an AFSCME position to a non-represented position, and if they then retire from that non-represented position, they are eligible for the Rule of 75. And I am led to believe that there are approximately 1,200 AFSCME employees that are hired between 1994 and 2006. And yesterday when we presented to Finance, I put it as sort of an unknown. We don't know whether the unions will decertify or fail to recertify, or what will happen to those individuals. However, Mr. Abelson, if you can believe him, was quoted yesterday as saying they do not intend to recertify. Mm-hmm. So it's a little less of an unknown and more likely scenario now based on that comment. And should that happen, and those 1,200 people in our ordinance not be changed, those 1,200 people hired between 94 and 06 in AFSCME would become eligible for the Rule 75 by becoming non-represented. The Rule of 75 obviously has a cost associated with it because it's earlier than the normal retirement age of 60 or now 64 for most individuals. The way that I drafted the ordinance amendment, the Employee Benefits Work Group presents this, is to fix this by essentially putting a box around the number of people who are eligible for the benefit based on those people who are eligible next week as of County Board Day. And so it says if you are eligible for this benefit as of September 29th, whether you're eligible under your union contract or whether you're eligible under the ordinance, you will remain eligible for that no matter what happens to you in the future, no matter how you change jobs, etc. Likewise, if you are not eligible as of next week, it doesn't matter what you do in the future, you're never going to become eligible. The only thing that's not addressed by this ordinance are the deputy sheriffs and the firefighters because we have to continue to negotiate pension benefits with them and we can't pass ordinance amendments to affect their benefits. So they are not addressed by this ordinance. As long as deputy sheriffs and firefighters remain in their union and as long as their unions remain in existence, their benefits obviously aren't affected by anything we do here today. So that's the structure of the ordinance and the rationale behind the ordinance, and then I'd have Mr. Langer speak to his report. I do want to save him the embarrassment because it is mine, not his, or at least not entirely his. Yesterday, I think it was Supervisor Mayo asked a question about savings. And what you'll hear from Mr. Langer is that we aren't affecting anybody's benefits right now. Everybody's current benefits, current employees, is just being frozen in place. So we're not changing anybody's current benefits. And in that sense, it doesn't have a cost. But there's a sort of an opportunity cost, or whatever you want to call it, that if you do not do this, and should the unions not recertify, then you will have a greater expenditure of pension benefits if you don't do this. So it's a savings if something happens. Mm-hmm. And we were asked the numbers, and I quickly did the math in my head and said $1.2 million in savings. In fact, Mr. Langer made it kind of a joke about got to get the zeros right. Well, we didn't. It's actually $12 million, not $1.2. So I'll let Mr. Langer speak to that.
Thank you for that introduction. Shall we begin with the actuary's comments?
So our September, thank you, Mr. Chair. So our letter is dated September 15th, 2011. It's a one-page letter. And the primary deal here is that, this ordinance amendment maintains the status quo, keeps things the same. So as such, there is no cost to this. But I like Mark's term, there's an opportunity cost if action is not taken. If for some reason this is not adopted and some of these unions decertified, suddenly folks can be avail themselves of the 70-on-5 and out provision, which results in cost. In the letter, we talk roughly about the impact being somewhere between $10,000 to $50,000 per member of the affected group. That's the impact increase in the accrued liability or past cost of the plan. And as Mark mentioned, if you extend that to the roughly 1,200 people, the right number of zeros to have in that number is 6 and not 5, and the low end would put you at about $12 million. This is the beauty of having a vain actuary who refuses to pull his calculator out of his briefcase, but it is $12 million of potential opportunity savings out there. But again, it's an unknown number. No unions have decertified. We don't know how many will decertify. So, that's the number if 1,200 actually decertify. Other than that, that is the highlights of my comments.
Quick question, Mr. Grady, regarding this whole question of certification and decertification. Is that a calendar year deadline?
The deadline, Mr. Bauck, here, you can correct me, but I believe that unions of local governments must notify the WRC by January 30th.
Correct.
Whether or not they intend to seek recertification. January 30th of next year.
Thank you very much. Members of the committee, any questions or discussion? And Fred, did you have something else you wanted to add?
No, January 30th is the magic date.
Thanks for confirming that. Members of the committee, any additional questions or discussion? Pleasure of the committee on the resolution ordinance change before us.
Move to approve.
I think we have a motion to approve.
Oh, okay, we're fine. That's what we're
that would be a recommendation from the Pension Study Commission.
Recommended approval
to the board.
Okay. Can I hear a second?
Yes.
Supervisor. On the recommendation by the Pension Study Commission forward to the Board of Supervisors, acceptance and approval of the item. Any discussion by members of the committee? There being none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayo.
Aye.
Thomas.
Aye.
Cohen.
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Aye.
4 ayes, 0 noes. The motion is approved.
This concludes our meeting for the morning. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are adjourned.